Believe that this morning, looked up and about 10 minutes longer than I usually do. And if you're nice, you'll get that back tonight. But we'll see. It's good to see all of you here this evening as we worship again. We're thankful for this time we have together. And we are blessed by your presence, what you mean to each other, and what you mean to the Lord. We're thankful for this time that we have to do these things. We have just a short time here on this earth to take advantage of these opportunities. We're continuing our series of Proverbs, a Sunday night series we're doing for this month. Actually, it'll go over some into October. We've had a couple of Sunday nights that we won't meet together, like next Sunday night. We won't have service here next Sunday night, so keep that in mind. But next Sunday morning, we will eat together after our morning service and enjoy that time of fellowship and eating, so make plans to be with us for that. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin. Lord, we're thankful for your presence in this assembly. We know that when we come to you, that the Bible says you're with us, and we are thankful that you are aware of our time together and our worship. We're thankful that you hear our prayers. We're thankful that you know our minds and our hearts. We're thankful that you know everything about us and that you put us on this earth with a purpose. And that was simply to have a relationship with you, to have our sins washed away so we can live forever with you. We're thankful for your love for us in giving your Son and demonstrating your love in that way. The Bible says you first loved us. And in demonstrating your love, now we can return our love to you. We are thankful that you don't give us what we deserve, but that you give us grace and mercy so that we can be saved. Bless those tonight who are hurting in any way, whether it be physically or emotionally or spiritually, whatever the case may be. We know that there are troubles at work. And there are troubles at schools and all the places we find ourselves. We often have more questions than answers. But we trust you. And we cling to you for guidance and an understanding of what we should do in this life. We're thankful that we can open your word and study. We're thankful for all the proverbs, the principles that you've laid out there, the things to help us make sense of this life and help us to do things that are right. Bless our congregation here and all that we do as we strive to do your will. Continue to love us and forgive us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Said we are continuing our series in Proverbs, talking about honoring the honorable this evening. Probably a topic or a passage that you may not have thought of in considering the book of Proverbs. It's something that probably isn't discussed quite often, this idea of honoring honorable people, what the Bible says about that. There are two verses to consider this evening. The one from Proverbs we want to consider is Proverbs 3, verse 27, where it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it." And then more famously from the New Testament, in the corresponding verse, or verse that addresses the same issue, Romans 13 and verse 7, "Render to all what is due them." And then listing several things, it says finally, "Honor to whom honor." So we have from the Old Testament in Proverbs saying, don't withhold good to those to whom it is due. We have in the New Testament, we give honor to whom honor is due. We don't like to do that often. You notice we live in an age when if you give something to somebody and not give it to someone else, the person who doesn't get it believes they deserve it. And maybe if they can't make a case for why they deserve it, they'll say, well, it was my right to have it. I'm entitled to it. I may not have done anything by merit. I may not have achieved anything, done anything But yet, just simply because somebody got something I didn't get, I need to get it too. We see maybe that happening most often with children and school system and on athletic teams and so forth, is make sure that my child is addressed, noticed like everyone else around, or else, you know, life just can't be this way. Life is just too biased against my child. But we can see that in a lot of places in life. It's not just with our young people. But you see, the Bible says, though, that some people deserve honor and they need to get it. They need to get the honor. There's some fundamental facts to think about regarding honorable people and giving it. It's earned. That honor is earned. To give it to whom it is due. You earn honor. And we know that probably without even saying it out loud. You think of a soldier who does something valiant in service. Our military has no problem saying that deserves recognition. We're all in this together. We're all trained the same way. We're all fighting for the same cause, but this person here has gone above and beyond. The military does it all the time without hesitation. They'll say that person has earned this recognition, this honor. It's something that's earned, something that is not just given out to anyone, because we know in this world there are dishonorable people. God knows that. God knows there are people who will live 50, 60, 70, 80 years and never do an honorable thing. Will never do something worthy of honor. The Bible teaches us that. God knows that. That's why he said, to whom it is due, give it. Recognize them. We should respect all people. Jesus even said, love your enemies. Acknowledging the fact that we might not use the word enemy, but there are going to be people we don't like. And trust me, there are people who don't like you for whatever reason. And Jesus said, you love your enemies. 1 Timothy 2 says, pray for all people. Pray for everybody. We love everybody. James chapter 3 says, in a passage about how we use our speech, the things that we say, he said, how is it that you can, with the same mouth, curse men and praise God? He said, it ought not to be this way. And he says, here's why. Because God made you and them. And it's disrespectful to God to curse one of his creations. We should respect all people, if for no other reason, they're made in the image of God. Every single person you see on this earth, every person on the news who did something bad, and you don't like them because they did something bad, that's somebody God made. And they shouldn't have done what they did. But yet, they deserve a level of respect because God made them. If somebody you love makes something, you respect the thing they made. Why? Because you love them. And you don't want to say something rude, say something ugly about something they did. But we should only honor some people. We respect everyone. We love everyone. We serve everyone. But yet, there's honor given to some people. The Bible endorses discrimination. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 talks about doing good to everybody. Do good to all. And then he says at the end of the verse, though, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Meaning, we have a list of our priorities of service. We have a list of who we should do good to. And he says, look inside the church. You start there. Acts chapter 2, thousands of people are converted in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, what did they first do? Did they go out to all the Gentiles? They go out to everyone who was lost and start serving them? No, they took care of each other first. So they went around and looked at each other and says, hey, we need to take care of each other. If you have a need, I'll sell some of my property, give the proceeds to you so you don't have to worry anymore. Christians in the book of Acts said, we need to take care of each other first. So we say, well, honoring certain people, that sounds like well, it is a form of to being discriminate, to say, make a decision and saying, where do we put service? Where do we put this honor? The Bible says you honor some people. You love everybody. You pray for everybody. You see everyone as being made in the image of God. When it comes to honor, you have to be selective. It may sound strange to say out loud. It may seem strange to read that in Scripture. But you give honor to whom honor is due. That there's that special recognition that you should give people who are honorable. So you think about, okay, well, how do you do it? Remember, Proverbs is principles. Proverbs doesn't give you five-step way to do things. Proverbs says, here's the principle. You figure out the details. Here's a statement about what a wise person does and then a foolish person does. It doesn't give you every step of the way, but it says, here's the principle. Well, give honor to whom honor is due. He says there in Proverbs 3, he says, to whom good is deserved, you give it to him as much as you can, or it's in your control to do. Well, then that's up to you to follow that through, to live up to that, to follow that. First thing we can do to honor honorable people is that we highlight their work. Highlight what they do. Remember Tabitha, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, and died. They had the closest thing that in the Bible of how we have a funeral is what they did for her. And it said, people brought out all the things that she had made for them, all the clothes she had made, and saying, look at what this woman did. You know, we can do the same thing. When there are honorable people out there doing work, highlight what they do. Tell people what they do. This guy over here last week dropped everything and helped me out on the side of the road. I called him up and he's busy and doing other things and he came to my assistance. Tell people all about it. Put it on social media. Say good things about people. Highlight the work they do. Somebody's worked at a job for a long time, they have retirement. Tell everybody. Hey, this lady over here, this man over here, look at what they did for so long, for so well. You know, we always talk about there's this sort of secret world out there. This, you know, we hear the phrase a lot of silent majority. That gets applied to a lot of things. You know, people every day just doing good work. Don't get a lot of headlines. Don't get a lot of attention. Why don't we give them a lot of headlines? Why don't we give them a lot of attention? Wouldn't that go a long way to inspiring somebody else to do the same thing? To be an honorable person is to take an honorable person and highlight the work they do. What did Jesus say about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11? John's disciples came to Jesus. He said, hey, John wants to know, I mean, so far, are you really the one that I talked about, the one that I baptized? And Jesus said, tell him about all these things that I've done. He said, and after he says that, he said, let me tell you something about John the Baptist. What do you expect to see when you went out in the wilderness? Somebody living a comfortable life? Somebody having it easy? He said, no, what you went out there and saw, you saw somebody who was sacrificing their entire life for the cause of Christ. They didn't have the best, he didn't have the best food to eat, he didn't have the best clothes to wear. Everything about his life was about fulfilling his role, preparing the way of Christ. He said, there's not been a better man on the face of the earth, born of a woman, than John the Baptist. Jesus highlighted his work. And all the people that heard him say that thought, then maybe I need to act more like John the Baptist, because I can't be perfect like Jesus, and Jesus is always the ultimate example of everything we do. But I can probably get a lot closer to being like John. Wouldn't it be nice for Jesus to say something like that about me? So how do you honor honorable people? Well, just highlight what they do. Get them out of the shadows. You see enough bad things every day. We hear enough headlines from the dishonorable people. How about we balance it out? How about we show what the honorable people are doing? You can also support their cause. You remember Saul is converted in Acts chapter 9. He doesn't have a friend in the world. The church still thinks that he hasn't been converted. The Jews don't like him either because he has been converted. Nobody believes him. And Barnabas comes along and he says, puts his arm around him essentially, and goes to the disciples and says, I'm telling you, he's been converted. I know he was public enemy number one for the church, but now he is a Christian. The same guy. And not only did Barnabas go and defend him and validate his conversion, but he went with him on that first missionary journey. Separated on the second one, but on the first one, he's right there with him. And they're going town to town, spreading the gospel. He highlighted Paul's work, but then he also supported it. How do you support an honorable person in their work? Well, you'll know. Everything good that happens in this life needs money. It'd be nice if everything just ran for free, and there were good causes that could just run for free. That'd be great. It'd be ideal, but every good work needs financial support. You may not have a lot of money, but I know that any good work out there or someone that you want to respect with money will gladly receive it. And you'll understand what Jesus meant when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe you need to support their cause by giving them some of your time so they can do something else. You probably know honorable people that just work for other people. And that's why they're honorable. How about giving them some of your time so they can do something else? So they can have a night with their spouse, a weekend away, something. You'll know. Give somebody, an honorable person, your time. Whatever support they need, find a way in which to support that. Highlight the work they do, support the work they do, and then reward their efforts. Solomon just demonstrated himself as being honorable because he was asked by God, what do you want? And he said, I have this incredible task ahead of me. And I'm going to fail if I don't have wisdom. He was humble enough to look in the mirror and say, I don't have enough wisdom. I mean, he had to start with that, of looking at himself and say, I'm not up for this. In terms, I have the mental capability, but the wisdom part is lacking. So, above all, I need wisdom. And what did God do? God rewarded him for being honorable. He said, I'll give you the wisdom, but I'm going to give you the riches also. I'm going to give you things you didn't even ask for because you demonstrated yourself as being honorable. And so there are times we need to reward people in that way. Reward their honor. It may not be with something of value in terms of material value, but again, something. to do to show your support, something you can do to reward them, to say, thank you for what you do. We need more people like you, because not everyone is honorable. But you are due honor. The Bible tells me that I should do everything in my capability to give you honor. But the question then is, how should we honor Jesus? Who deserves honor more than Jesus? Nobody. We can't repay him for all that he did for us, but we can honor him. Honor is really not repaying, right? Somebody that you recognize as being honorable, you don't live in a debt to them. You're just looking at them and seeing what they do and saying, I want to honor you. It's not that you owe them a paying back a debt. Well, with Christ, of course, we have a debt. We can't repay the debt, but we can honor. In John chapter 12, the first 8 verses, we see a great example of someone who is honoring Jesus. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there. Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the people, given to the poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Some people have taken that last statement of Christ and saying, well, Jesus said we always have poor people, so we don't need to help poor people. Because no matter how much you help poor people, there's always going to be poor people. You're missing the point. He's not saying, giving you an excuse not to help the poor. He's saying, as he said very plainly, I'm not going to be here very much longer. You can help the poor later. Who are you going to honor today? We need to serve all people. We need to love all people. We need to pray for all people. But there are times when you have to say, today in this situation, while I have opportunity, while I have this chance, this is what I need to do for this person. So what are the ways in which Mary honored Jesus? Well, she did it in her home. She honored Jesus in a room with a man who used to be dead. In John chapter 11, in the previous chapter, Lazarus died. Lazarus was in a grave for 4 days. Lazarus came back to life, and he was in the room. And she chose to honor Jesus. Now, if a celebrity were in the room, if somebody that has a bit of fame, if somebody has done things that you find interesting, then you should get the attention. Let's not always honor the honorable person. Let's go honor the famous person, the interesting person, the celebrity, the rich person. Let's give that person our attention. Here's Lazarus, a formerly dead man, and she says, all my attention is on Christ, not how interesting Lazarus might be, questions I might have for him, and so on. We need to honor Jesus in our homes. Not getting caught up in what else may be there that's distracting or more interesting. You honor Jesus in your home and what you do and what your children do. You honor Jesus by having Bibles that are used in your home. How do you honor Jesus in your home? What is the evidence that someone would see that you honor Jesus in your home? There are a lot of questions as to why young people grow up in the church and then they leave the church. They say, well, it's for this reason, that reason. It's usually about what happened in the church, what happened in the congregation. The congregation didn't have this, they didn't have that. A lot of times, young people leave the church because Jesus was never honored in the home they grew up in. Family went to church. Family went to worship, did things like that. But what was said and what was done inside the home wasn't Christ-like. And children grow up looking at mom and dad saying, they don't honor Jesus, why should I? And then still we wonder why they leave. Mary was honoring Jesus in her home and not being distracted by something more interesting. But she also honored Jesus in her heart. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one reclining at the table. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, anointing the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Usually had a servant do that. Usually had somebody kind of beneath you to do that. Foot washing was pretty common in those days. It was a way to honor a guest in your home. Because they often, as it says here, reclined at a table. And you didn't want to have somebody's dirty feet close to your food, close to your face. So you'd often wash feet when someone came in your home before you're going to eat. So that was a level of honoring Jesus by simply washing his feet. But she took it the next step. She didn't just wash his feet. We would have looked at that and said, well, that's good. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. But she goes the next mile and says, I'm going to wash his feet with expensive things. I'm going to give my very best in the way I honor Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. And he's not like the guy that came to dinner last night or last week. He's different. I'm going to recognize him in a different way. Not going to use water. I want to get the best. That's what he's getting. Does Jesus always get your best? Does Jesus always get your best, or does he get what everybody else gets? Unfortunately, many times, other people get more honor than Jesus. The boss gets more respect at work. The teacher, the coach. We honor them more often. We respect them more. We follow what they say more. We live by their standards more often. We honor the celebrity. We watch what they do, what they say, how they dress, the way they talk. What is all that doing? That's honoring who they are, being like them. Mary said, Jesus is going to be honored more than I honor anyone else because he's Jesus. You do more for Jesus simply because he's Jesus. Honoring the honorable is a command of Scripture. It's not an extra. It's not an add-on. It's not a, well, when I feel like it, maybe something we have to do. It's recognizing honorable people and supporting what they do, rewarding what they do, highlighting what they do, using them as a good example for others. And honoring the honorable is a Christ-like thing to do. He did it. Jesus looked at a woman who put two mites in the temple treasury, and he said, look at what she did. I'm going to point out one person here in this whole assembly of people at the temple. And it's not the person you would think I would honor. He said, I want you to look at that woman, what she did. That's honorable. Honoring the honorable is Christ-like. We can be more like Jesus when we do that. If you want to be more like Jesus, you find yourself not always wanting to do that, or much less doing that. If that's where you find yourself tonight, if you don't feel like you're honoring Him the ways that you should, we pray for you tonight and try to assist you in that way. Hopefully you want to begin your life with Christ. If you're outside of Christ and never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we hope you do that this evening and not wait any longer. You have this opportunity. Jesus said you have the opportunity now to serve me, because I'm going to be gone and you can serve others later. Here you have an opportunity tonight to be baptized, because you don't know how many more opportunities you have. So whatever your need may be this evening, please come while we stand and sing.